the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger, and I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutation of Allah be upon all of you. Salam, this is today's special, and we're going to speak about entertainment in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Monday, is the 23rd of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 82. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم كانوا أكثر منهم وأشد قوة وآثارا في الأرض فما أغنى عنهم ما كانوا يكسبون.
Have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those before them? They were more numerous than themselves and greater in strength and in impression on the land. But they were not availed by what they used to earn.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the Quranic criticisms is failing to travel so as to acquire knowledge and experience. Disbelievers' opposition against the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, stemmed from their vanity for their large number and might. Thus, the Holy Quran says that God Almighty destroyed those mightier than them, and one of the reasons lying behind the fall of civilizations is opposition against prophets and turning away from divine commands. Following the expression of divine omnipotence and reminding mankind of his bounties and the orderly system of creation, the blessed verse proceeds to warn disbelievers and remind them that those who deny divine signs and verses and the noble prophet should travel through the land and see the manner of their predecessors. Entertainment in Islam, we speak about. Every day of a believer's life must have some sort of lawful entertainment. Why has Islam given so much weight to entertainment? A man once came to Imam Ali and said that he has molded his nature in such a way that he does not feel the need for lawful pleasure in life. The Imam replied to him, "For now you do not know, Satan flows in man like bloodstream. You won't even realize when he attacks you." Even the best of pious or religious people lose interest in religion and become astray if they don't preserve a break for entertainment. In selecting the appropriate source of entertainment, we should always keep in mind that it is something that will help our mind and body relax, not something that might be physically, spiritually, or emotionally destructive for us. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the recreation and enjoying oneself in everyday life as depicted in Islam. In the Holy Quran, in the Surah Ghafir, verse number 75, it's indicated in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ذَلَكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَمْرَحُونَ. The type of punishment a certain people received was because of unlawful happiness and arrogance they showed in their life, and because they started practicing that kind of behavior that showed they're being dissident against the divine instructions and teachings. Elsewhere in the Islamic instructions, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it and recommended his companions to enjoy recreations and positive pastimes, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never liked any kind of stiffness in behavior. In the recommendations and pieces of advice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his immediate successor, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that a sane person shouldn't go on a trip, shouldn't take a trip, unless for three purposes: either for commerce, I mean for commercial purposes and business purposes, or for seeking knowledge, or for receiving spiritual advancement and improvement.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now we'll look at the necessity of having fun in Islam. Dear friend, talking about the goal of life does not mean that Muslims should spend all their time working and praying. There are many narrations that recommend Muslims to divide their day into four parts. Imam Reza, Shia's eighth imam, says, try to divide your day into four parts. One part for praying and communicating with your Lord. One part for earning lawful and halal money, an income for a living. One part to communicate with your religious brothers and friend who will help you know your deficiencies, and a part to entertain your soul with lawful pleasure. And in the fourth part, you will gain liveliness to fulfill other three duties.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
As usual, we look at forms of halal entertainment. One of them is eating out. Second suggestion is swimming. dear friend, everybody enjoys going out to their favorite fast food joint and enjoying a delicious chicken or burger. This is completely halal and extremely fun, especially when you go with company. So go ahead and enjoy yourself. Just make sure the chicken is halal. And the other form of halal entertainment is swimming. This one is recommended by the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. And there is no better way to cool off on a hot day. So make sure you enjoy the water in the upcoming summer.
Minutes, seconds, hours, days and weeks, that's your life. And every minute that goes, a small chunk of your life goes with it. Allah has given you time as the greatest capital. Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam wrote a letter on the day of Ashura to his half-brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, who was in the city of Medina, and other members of his relatives from Bani Hashim. From what I've seen, it's the shortest letter Husayn alayhi salam has written. One line, my dear brothers and sisters. You know what the Imam alayhi salam says? Amma ba'd, فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ. It's as if the world never existed. It's as if the world never existed. Flash, like a second. Didn't the summer break, for those of you who had a break, finish so quickly? Look back at the last 3 months now. Life evaporates like that. The Imam alayhi salam says, فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ. And it's as if the Akhirah is ever present, because it's infinite. The Imam says the believer feels the Akhirah is here, it's present here. You can feel it, because this world is limited. Compare something that is finite, something that's limited, to the infinite hereafter. It becomes nothing. That's our life, my dear brothers and sisters. Am I doing justice to myself or no? That's the position of the religion of Islam. Islam tells you, think about your daily schedule. How are you spending this time, my dear brothers and sisters? So this is an important point of discussion. Before you even ask what's halal, ask yourself, is this beneficial? Is this the best way for me to prepare for my life, for the hereafter?
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us contemplate on a wise aphorism from Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. If you want to pray to Allah for better means of subsistence, then first give something in charity.
Thank you. Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Some individuals will promote the idea that wealth is not a good thing. It is good to be poor. It is good to be, you know, destitute. This is not the case. Islam does not promote this. Islam is a religion that promotes, you know, being on the middle path. Islam is not a religion that looks down on wealth. But if it did, one of the prophets will not have had the East and the West as part of his kingdom. For example, we know that some of the Imams are also quite wealthy. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had possessions. Wealth in and of itself is not good, nor is it bad. Wealth is something that becomes good or becomes bad, becomes a virtue or a vice, depending on how we as individuals view it. Do we view it as a means, or do we view it as an objective? And how we use it. Do we use it for our own selfish desires, or do we use it in promoting the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and assisting others? Do we hoard it? Do we spend it? All of these things come into play here. We cannot just say that, oh, wealth is a bad thing. Pray for destitution, pray for poverty. No, this is not what Islam teaches. Wealth in and of itself is wealth. The good is not bad. It's how you use it, how you view it, that makes it good or bad. And this can be seen here in this tradition by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says that, ni'mal awn, what a good helper that he mentions what is a good helper? Wealth and richness and riches. He says, a good helper for what? Al-taqwa. That God consciousness and God weariness is aided or can be aided by wealth. Why? Because you can spend it in such a way in which your proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets closer. Besides, obviously, all the compulsory taxes that one has to pay, the zakat and the khums and so on. But so much good can be done with wealth if a person truly understands how to spend it in the right way, to do it with the right intentions. A person can really use that this wealth in order to aid his taqwa and his God consciousness. So the tradition of the Holy Prophet in full is to say what a good aid wealth and riches can be to God weariness. Obviously, by implementing the teachings of Islam, by putting that wealth into places that is needed, building masajis, building Husainiyas, building schools, orphanages, and so on and so forth. So wealth in and of itself is not good or bad. It depends how we use it, how we view it, and you know where we put it. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. Edward Gibbon, who was an English historian, writer, and member of parliament in 18th century, has written about the Quran the following. From the Atlantic to the Ganges, the Quran is acknowledged as the fundamental code not only of theology, but of civil and criminal jurisprudence. And the laws which regulate the actions and the property of mankind are governed by the immutable sanctions of the will of God. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 3 of Surah Tahrim, recited by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah At-Tahrim, verses 1 to 3, by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. Okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي. In the phrase يا أيها النبي, we have مد المنفصل يا أيها. These are two words, they're not one word, okay? So what happens is that you have to lengthen this med. You have the option to lengthen this med to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. And that's why it's called Jaizul Munfasil, which means the optional disjunct lengthening. Yeah, ayyu. Now, there's a grammatical point here. Why is it that sometimes we have yeah by itself, and sometimes we have yeah Ayyuha? This happens whenever there is alif lam after ya, because you can't say yan nabi, you can't say yan nafsul mutma'inna, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, ya ayyuhan nabi. But you can say, for example, ya Muhammad, because Muhammad is not a alif lam. So this is a grammatical point in Arabic. Ya ayyuhan nabi. The ya has shadda. We have to make sure that we don't put too much pressure on the ya, because ya is a letter of rakhawa and lean. We have to pronounce it gently and softly. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, nabiyu. لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ The ra has tarqiq, okay, because we have to pronounce, because it has a kasra, so we have to pronounce it thinly. مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا أَحَلَّ. Again, we have مَدُّ الْمُنْفَصِل. Halallahu lak, the Lam of Allah is pronounced with taghlil because it's preceded by a letter with a fatha. Tabtaghi marḍāta azwājik, marḍāta, the lād has tafkhīm at the highest level because lād is a letter of istirla. Wallahu ghafūrur rahīm. Ghayn and the two ra's, they all have tafkhīm. The ghayn is a letter of istirla. The first ra has tanwīn al-dham and the second ra has fatḥa. قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ قَدْ in this word we have قَلْقَلَ on the letter دَال. So we have to make sure that the sound of دَال bounces back and is not trapped in the place of articulation of دَال. قَدْ قَدْ, the sound is a neutral sound which is not inclined to any of the three short vowels. So if you say قَدْ Qada or Qadi or Qadu, that's incorrect. لَكُمْ تَحِلَّتْ أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ وَإِذَا سَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا. We have إخفاء of نون ساكنة here. So you have to approximate the place of articulation of فاء and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. We don't have time to continue talking about this verse and its rules of tajweed. So until next time, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, there was once upon a time a ruthless ruler whose name was, as we all know, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Now this individual was known for disliking the Sadat, that is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. More so, he disliked them on two accounts. One, that they were the family of the Holy Prophet. And two, most of them, obviously, were the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. So on both these accounts, he disliked them immensely. And anything that was done to promote either the family of the Holy Prophet or, you know, the Shi'i school of thought, was something that, you know, he put a stop to immediately. It was not something that he allowed to be freely promoted amongst the populace. So it is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar that one day Hajjaj summoned a person by the name of Amir al-Sha'bi, and he summoned him to his court. So now Amir, obviously being scared, he said, why is Hajjaj, you know, summoning me? So he got ready. He, you know, read two rakat Salah, he read his units of prayer, two units of prayer. He wrote his will and final testament, got ready, and he left to the court of Hajjaj. As he enters the court, he sees that, you know, there is an execution about to occur. He can see that this is a moment and the scene has been set for an execution. And he can see that Hajjaj in his hand has a sword that has been drawn out of its sheath. So Hezekiah enters into the court and he greets Hajjaj, and Hajjaj then obviously returns his greeting. Hajjaj tells him not to worry. Oh Amir, this is not for you. You have been given immunity until tomorrow. Anyway, from amongst the crowd, Hajjaj summons a person who has been chained, has been tied up, who has, you know, a metal ring around his neck. And Hajjaj calls him towards him and says to this person that, you have to prove to me that Hassan and Hussein were the sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If you do not prove this to me, I will strike your neck. He tells this to the person who has been chained. So Amir being there said, oh Hajjaj, oh, you know, commander of the faithful, how can you strike this person's neck? You know, in order for him to prove that, you'll have to remove the chains from him. And even if you don't want him to prove it or he's unable to prove it, you still have to remove the chains in order to strike his neck, because he's covered in chains, his neck has been covered in metal, your sword won't have any effect on him. So anyway, Hajjaj bends to this request of Amir, and he orders the chains from this individual to be removed. So as the chains has been removed or were removed from this individual who made this claim, or has been reported that this was the individual who made this claim, most possibly amongst the people of Kufa at the time, Amir says that the person who was under the chains was none other than Sa'id ibn Jubair. Inshallah, in continuing the story in our next episode. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يوه بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-ayn rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We just celebrated the birth anniversary of our Prophet and our sixth Imam. And so I'd like to again wish you Eid Mubarak on this Mawlid. Keeping in mind that this was also the Wiladat of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, I would like to share with you a hadith which I would consider to be a message of the sixth Imam for us. We are Shias, not only Shias, we actually identify ourselves by saying we are Shia Ja'fari. We relate ourselves to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and so it's important to understand, you know, what is the expectation that this sixth Imam has from us? And this is a conversation narrated by Zayd al-Shaham, one of the prominent companions of the sixth Imam, where he says that one day Abu Abdullah al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, "Iqra ala man tara annahu yuti'uni minhum wa ya'khudhu bi qawli as-salam." He says, you know, whenever you see somebody who obeys me from among the Muslims, and he gives respect to my sayings and accepts my sayings, convey my salams to him. And then Imam gives some advice. He says, say to them, وَعُسِيكُمْ بِتَقْبَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The first thing he says is that, I advise you to maintain the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa basically to have this consciousness of Allah's presence in our life. And especially if we want to use the literal translation, it would be to fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is the first advice. And then second, he says, وَالْوَرَى فِي دِينِكُمْ, that you should exercise caution in matters of your faith and your religion. So don't leave, you know, issues only to the minimum. Go to the higher levels where you take extra caution when you do things or when you refrain from things. Number three, he says, وَالْإِجْتِهَادْ لِلَّهِ, you know, to struggle for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam wants us to actually exert our best, maximum, you know, ability in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, he says, وَصِدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ, he says, be truthful in your speech. This is one of the core values that Islam talks about. Number five, he says, وَعَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ, and to fulfill the trust. When people give things to you for safeguarding as amanat and trust, when they come back for it, you should hand it over to them faithfully. Number six, watul sujood, to prolong the sajda, the prostration in the daily prayers. Of course, this refers more to the personal prayers and not in the congregational prayers. In a personal prayer, if you have the time, especially when it comes to the recommended prayers, you should prolong your sajda. Number seven, وحسن الجوار, and to maintain good relationship with the neighbor. This is also an important issue that Islam talks about. And after describing the seven items, the Imam says, فَبِحَاذَ جَاءَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلَهِ وَسَلَّمْ. These are the teachings and the values with which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, came for us. And then he singles out again the issue of being trustworthy. He says, وَعَدُّ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى مَنْ اَعْتَمَنَكُمْ عَلَيْهَا بِرًّا أَوْ فَاجِرًا. He says, you know, and convey the trust which has been given to you in trust, whether the person who conveyed it to you was a righteous person or a sinful person. Because the Prophet of Islam has said, he used to emphasize بِعَدَاءِ الْخَيْطِ وَالْمَخِيطِ, you know, that even if it's simple items like the thread and the needle, such simple items also, if somebody hands it over to you and then they ask back for it, you should be faithful in returning their trust back to you, to them. سِلُوا عَشَائِرُكُمْ, maintain your ties with your people. وَاشْحَدُوا جَنَائِزَهُمْ, when they pass away, participate in their funeral. وَعُودُوا مَرْضَاهُمْ, when they are not feeling well, go and visit them. وَعَدُّوا حُقُوقَهُمْ, and whatever, you know, rights that they have upon you, fulfill them. And then Imam again emphasizes some of these points that he had mentioned earlier. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرَعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ وَعَدَّ الْأَمَانَ وَحَسُنَ خُلْقُهُ مَعَ النَّاسِ قِيلَ هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ. He says, when a person from among you, my community, when they exercise caution in their religion and they are truthful in their speech and they convey the trust which has been given to them, and when they maintain good character and behavior with the people, and then others would say, هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ, he is a Ja'fari, he is a follower of Ja'far al-Saliq, يَسُرُّنِي ذَلِكَ, this makes me really happy. وَيَدْخُلُ عَلِيَّ مِنْهُ السُّرُورِ وَقِيلَ هَذَا عَدَبُ جَعْفَرِ, and this really creates this delight in my heart from that person. And people will say that these are the character and the behavior of Ja'far. وَإِذَا كَانَ عَلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, but if somebody from my community is opposite of these characters that I have mentioned, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ بَلَاؤُهُ وَعَارُهُ, then his problems and his bad reputation and image, you know, reflects on me. وَقِيلَ هَذَا عَدَبُ جَعْفَرَ, and people will say, is this the character and the behavior of Ja'far that we see in among his followers?
And this is where Imam then ends with a statement from his father, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, where he said, أَنَّ الرَّجُلْ كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي الْقَبِيلَ مِنْ شِيْعَةِ عَلِيٍّ فَيَكُونُ زَيْنَهَا. The sixth Imam says that, you know, sometimes if you see, for example, in a tribe, there is a Shia of Ali among them, he will be the best one among them. أَدَّاهُمْ لِلْأَمَانَةِ. He will be the most trustworthy in giving back the trust to the owners. وَأَقْضَاهُمْ لِلْحُقُوقِ. He will be the one who fulfills the rights more than others. أَصْدَقُهُمْ الْحَدِيثِ. He will be the most truthful person in his speech. إِلَيْهِ وَصَايَاهُمْ وَوَدَايِعُهُمْ. People will go to that person, that Shia of Ali, in order to, live things in trust with that person. تُسْأَلُ الْعَشِيرَ عَنُهُ. When people talk about him and ask about him, they will say, how can be somebody like him? He is the most trustworthy when it comes to the trust, and he is the most truthful person in speech. And so this is the expectation that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam has from those who are known as Shia of Ali and those who are known as the follower of the madhab of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the wisdom, and the courage to live up to the expectation of our imams, of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali Mulhali Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
Inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear brothers and sisters, previously as you have been with us, we learned what to ask from the Almighty Allah when it comes to praying for ourselves. Prior to that, we had learned what to ask from the Almighty Allah and how to beseech Allah for others, how to give preference to the others. But when it comes to ourselves, we also have specific orders what to ask and how to ask the Almighty Allah. We learned to generalize in our prayers. We learned to ask for even the smallest things, be it the laces of our shoes and the salt of our breads. We also learned that we should pray for the great bounties, and we should not regard praying to Allah for His great blessings as asking too much from Him, however great they might be. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, when the Holy Prophet used to be asked to do something, if he was willing to do it, then he would reply saying, yes. But if he was not willing to do so, then he would remain silent, as he would never say no to something. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ A Bedouin came to him and asked him for something, but he remained silent. The Bedouin repeated his request, but again he remained silent. He asked him for the third time, yet he sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. Thereafter, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as if he was continuing with his speech, what do you want, O Bedouin? So he said, he is just now going to ask you a place in the heaven. The Bedouin said, I ask you to give me a camel, its saddle, and some provision. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will give you that. Then he turned towards us and said, what a difference between the request of the Bedouin and that of an old lady from Banu Israel. Then he said, when Moses was commanded to cross the sea and he neared it, the mounts were whipped to cross, but they retreated. So Moses said, O my Lord, what has happened to me? Allah said, O Moses, you are at the grave of Yusuf, carry his bones. Then the grave was as flat as the earth, so he asked his people, does any one of you know where it is? They said, we don't know, but there is an old woman with us, maybe.